Hello and welcome to the Stories Mania podcast. Our piece for you today is The Waiting Terror, Chapter 1 by Sphinx. Waters Peak, 1916. Chapter 1. I guess I'll start by introducing myself. I am Sheriff Frank McAfield. I live here in the small town called Mountain Falls in Georgia. I'm keeping a record now of all the strange things that have started to happen here. Most people have moved away now, but I remain. I want to get to the bottom of all these strange goings-on. I should start at the beginning. It all started with the first full moon of this year of 1920. Our quaint little town is still in the old way. People with horse and carriage and such. We don't like all those damn noisy moving cars. They scare the horses and they smell. We the people of this small town voted to keep things the old way. The nearest town to us is east, about a week or so ride around the mountain pass. Not much to look at here. Just a few ranches on the outer portion of town and a small general store. We have my office and a general barn attached to a nearby saloon and hotel for folk passing through. My place is next to the saloon and hotel just above my jail. That way, if there's any trouble, I can be there in a hurry. Most of the folk in this town don't have any children. They all have all grown up and moved on. Mr. McClure owns the saloon. He's a widow. He lost his wife to the cancer. It was her lungs. She lived for about a year after Doc Masterson's found it. McClure was an old man, about 50. His once red hair was now gray with age, and he's not very clean but cut since his wife died. He was a tall, scraggly, unwry old man. Always giving the young folks a hard time when they wouldn't come into the saloon, always calling them damn youngsters, this and that, telling them in the old days we did not treat people like they do now. We had more respect for folks back in them old days, he would say. I always got a laugh out that old man's lectures. He was quite something to listen to. When he got going, his place was added on the back side of the saloon. He was never the type to talk down to the youngster when they were brawling. He would just pull out his 10-gauge double-barrel shotgun he kept hidden under the bar and all. That was his idea of a peacekeeper. Well, I cannot say much about that, because it seemed to work every darn time. The Doc lives on his ranch just a few places outside of town to the south. His first name is Ray, but he likes us to call him Doc. He was never married. He just said he made medicine his wife. With all the travel and stuff, he just did not have the time. That was, of course, before he settled here. He was tired of the big city folk and their wild ways and such. He said he was ready for the less fast pathways, so he moved to Mountain Falls and brought the ranch to the south of town. He got rid of that damn motor car for some horses, then moved his way up to where he is now. He has all told about one bull, two cows, and calves, and 10 sheep and goats. He was a nice man, about 40 or so, clean-shaven, well-dressed, and mannered. He had short, neat black hair that looked like somebody tied it to the back of a mule and stretched it to the middle of his neck. One tall and real skinny like a small tree. He was kind to let himself go in the past few years, though. He is lucky if he can see his own feet and has a beard and his hair is to the middle of his back. Only comes into town when he is needed to get supplies from the general store. Not much for him to do medicine-wise. Not too many folks in this town to get sick. Some pastors who come through are in need of a potion or medicine and such. Other than that, it is pretty quiet here. Then there's my deputy, who lives next to the barn on the north side of the saloon. He and his wife, Telly, own the general store also. Something to keep him busy, I gander. We do not get much trouble in these here parts of the woods. His name is Smith Jones. Odd name it is, but a nice youngin' he is. Small fellow, about 5'2", and looks kinda like a peach fresh off the tree with the face of a small boy, with those round puffy cheeks and all. His wife is Telly. Is just the same, but more girlish. They moved here about 2 years ago. She is with child now. She lost her first one on the way here. I guess with the rough travel by covered wagon and all. They came all the way from the east after getting off their sailing ship from Ireland. Both have hair like I've never seen. Red as an apple, I suppose you could say. Mr. McClure sold them the general store after his wife passing on and all. He just could not run both anymore by himself. Just over the prairie hills to the east is Mr. McAfee's ranch. Now he came from the west and settled here about 10 years ago. His pa was a cattle rustler on the border of Mexico. He doesn't have any children either. Does not want none of those damn little snot-nosed brats, as he puts it. He was a big man, not fat at all, but very husky and tall. Taller than me, I suppose, probably about 6'5", I would guess. I'm about 6'2", and he stands over me like stepping on a box grate or something. He is not white either, but has a squaw he brought off the local Indians near his paws. He said he traded some deer pelts for her and an Indian chief named Twin Eagles. She was a typical-looking Indian squaw with her long black sleek hair and an Indian deer pelt dresses and such. Not a looker that one is, but I would guess she does well by him. She does not speak much English. I have tried to say hello or a spell or two when she comes into town for supplies and such, but she does not talk back. He comes into town for the local poker game and drinks a lot. I'm surprised he even makes it back to his ranch. Most time he passes out on the staircase of the hotel. I get called down to drag him home at least twice a week. Most times I am called out to the ranch to break up the brawls between his hired cowhands that he had brought up from Mexico. I cannot really tell you what their faces look like, because they're covered with hair. Mostly they are short little fellows with big bellies. Dirty little fellows they are, always drunk and trying to kill each other over cards. They are not around all the time. Drunker McKeevy was always sending those fellows on cattle runs to the nearest town further west every year to rustle up and trade cattle. Even though they did not come to town much, I still had to pack my gun and holster when they did, especially when the littlest came to town. His name was Paco. He was the dirtiest fellow I had ever seen, kind of left a dirt trail wherever he went. He was always looking for a fight or showdown. Every time he stepped a foot in that there saloon, there was a brawl waiting to happen. He would accuse one of the other five fellows of cheating and dare them to a showdown. It usually ended up being the biggest one of them all, who only stood maybe 5'1 or so. His name was Juan. He was the youngest out of a bunch of maybe about 15. Very scrawny and also a very dirty fellow, but usually never spoke. They did not speak English either. Drunkle learned Spanish from his pa while living on the ranch just as well, and his cowhands being from Mexico and all. Now Juan was the first one to come up dead. Drunkle came to me one night after they had been back of the saloon where the woods end of the shooting bottles off the back fence. He came up all frantic, like yelling and hollering. That Juan had been torn up by some wolves. The little Paco said that they were back there shooting, and Juan saw his young girl just before nightfall and it went after her. Well, when he never came back, they took some lanterns and went looking for him, thinking he passed out drunk somewheres. They found him all right. They took me to see, and well, it looked like he had been torn to pieces by a pack of wolves. His arm had been torn clean off the shoulder, and his legs were missing along with his head. Damn near lost my belly in the beer I drank earlier. I do recall hearing a wolf howling earlier, but did not think much of it. Damn shame, though, to have died that horribly. After that, I gave it much thought. It happens from time to time when the wolves come out of the nearby hills searching for food and all. Come to think about it now, haven't seen much deer lately. Now, he didn't pay that no mind to those damn wolves, but to the four Mexicans. Paco, Jose, and Raul, and Felipe came back the next night, were raising hell out of the saloon. They were hollering about something. So I went, got Dunkle to translate for me. He said they were planning on going after those damn wolves and hunting them down. I told Dunkle to tell them that if they do not heed back to the ranch and sober up, I was going to throw them in my jail. So Dunkle went and told him. I don't think I ever heard so much of the ruckus coming from such small folk before. They were hollering all the way to the ranch. I know because I could still hear them even though they were a spell down the dirt road. Goddamn Mexicans, I sure don't need them going out in the woods stinking drunk and shooting up the place. Damn, they were so drunk they probably would have ended up shooting each other in the backsides. Poor Deputy Smith came blaring out, pistol backing and everything after all that noise. Well, what's the hell going on out here? Poor Tilly having a spell of a fright in here. She's crying about some damn wolf coming in and getting the baby after it's born and all. Will someone please tell me something? I just told him to go back to the missus and calm down. I had it under control. After I knew he was back in bed and did the same and tried to get some sleep, as I was all tuckered out with this damn ruckus and such going on for these past two nights. I laid in my bed for a while, but could not sleep with those damn wolves howling all night long. Sounded like they'd moved to the southern part of the woods, or near Doc's place. Figured I would probably hear about it in the morning for sure. They were more than likely go after Doc's sheep or goats. I know some of his ewes just had lambs. Sure enough, I was awakened by Doc pounding on my jailhouse Dor ranting about his goats being killed. It kind of shook me because I never heard the Doc raise his voice before. So I dragged myself out of bed, put some clothes on, and staggered down the stairs. I opened the door and told him I would meet him at the back of the ranch and close the door. I brewed myself a cup of coffee and headed out south to his ranch. By the time I had saddled up my horse and rode up there, his face was mad and yellow like the devil himself had crawled into him, and he was jumping around like somebody had barbed wire across his ass and left it there. Goddamn whoops, I had gone and torn up all my goats, all 10 of them. Well, what the hell are you going to do about this? He said, yelling at me. Talk to him, I said. There was no mistaking that they had killed his goats all right. I am guessing they did not get the sheep because he put them in the barn the night before. Doc explained how he could not get them in time because his rifle jammed and all. As I looked around, it did not seem right. Didn't look like wolves to me. There were goats parts everywhere. There were legs hanging from the big oak tree next to the barn, which looked kind of like they had been gnawed on and then thrown up there that tree for later. Heads had been torn clean off bodies and were hanging off the fence nearest the wood starting point. There wasn't much left of the bodies, all torn into little pieces, and the blood was everywhere. The fresh grass had been black and dried up with the blood. Could hear a crunch beneath my boots and I saw the biggest goddamn wolf prints with puddles of blood in them. Just glad I had not eaten yet, for I would have lost my belly. I stayed and helped clean up the bloody mess. Took a spell or two to do, but by the time I got to my place, it was almost dark. I tried to make some grub, but could not bring myself to eat. My belly felt like I had drank some milk that had came out of a butter churner after sitting in the hot summer sun for a spell or two, rather chunky and rancid. The last time I had seen anything like the mess up at Doc's was at least a year or so ago. A couple of covered wagons heading east stopped and made camp for about half a day in the woods to wait out in the rainstorm. A single rider came galloping in like the devil was after him. He had a young lady hanging across his legs all blooded. He was hollering for the town Doc. The man said the boy had been dragged off in the middle of the night during the rainstorm by a wolf and they didn't find him till dawn. He was chewed up. Nothing the Doc could do for him. He was already dead before he got rode into town. His throat had been torn open in his arms, or was left of him from the elbow down. The largest damn teeth marks covered his sides and legs. Never seen anything like it either. The next morning, Smith came to me and said he had something for me to do. He said to me, I am not a yellered belly or nothing. It's just that Taylor is scared, and we have checked with the Doc and all, and he says the baby ain't going to come for at least 2 months. So, we are moving Frank. We are packing and we're leaving tonight while it's cool. I said that was okay, and not like he was a yellered belly or nothing. You are doing what is right, and that they're youngin' and all. I told him to be careful and keep his rifle handy with the wolves being around and all. He said our goodbyes as they rode out of town tonight. I had not seen Doc at all today. I sailed up from my horse and headed up there about late evening. Seemed real quiet, too, as I got off my horse and tied her up to the post out of the ranch. Seemed rather odd that Doc had not come out to greet me yet or even holler at me for something. I proceeded up to walk up the porch and rap the door, but still nothing. As I waited for the sound of feet walking across the old creaking wood floor, I figured maybe he was out yonder in the pasture or in the barn milking his cows or something. But I could not see him anywheres. I walked around some more, and when I got to the barn, the sheep were so tightly locked up. So I walked around the west side of the barn where we found the goats the night before. All I could find was his rifle laying in a pool of blood, pieces of torn clothing with blood on them all around it. Damn, I thought, his gun must have jammed on him and those blasted wolves got him. I continued to walk and searched his ranch, but found nothing else that would tell me anything. He was gone, just gone. Think maybe I'll go ask Dunkel if he heard anything last night, with him being closer to Doc than I. His ranch was at a queer place. Going south to Doc's from my place took a spell longer to reach than from Dunkel's ranch to the south east side of Doc's ranch and all. Once on the dirt roads, you have to heed north one, then west a spell or two till you get to the front part of Dunkel's ranch. At the gate, you had to ride a spell more southeast to get to the barn and ranch house and all. Never quite figured out why I had not made the dirt road going south from town to Dunkel's ranch. I'm questioning Doc and Dunkel liked it that way. Early the next morning, I saddled up and headed out to Dunkel's ranch. Made it in time for a morning meal time. His squaw was cooking away by the time I rode up, so Dunkel invited me to stay for some morning food. The little squaw could sure cook some good grub. Dunkel had asked me what brought me this way, and so I told him about what I found at Doc's ranch. Damn shame. He was a good man, Doc was. Damn shame, was all he had to say about that. Then he told me all them was hanging around and all. He was having them cowhands herd up the cattle, and was prepared to send them west to his pa's ranch. Can't much afford to lose his cattle to some damn wolves, I am guessing. Said he was leaving in a day or so, soon as cattle were all herded up and ready to go. I headed back, and it was getting close to dark. Do not want to be out riding with a pack of wolves running the town. Cannot figure what to do with the general store, because I'm going to have to run it myself. First I'll check on the old man and see how he is doing him before I hit the hay. As I rode up to the saloon and headed to the barn to put my horse on the night, I saw a bunch of strange horses on along with a couple of covered wagons tied to the saloon hitching posts. I decided on a nightcap and to see who the travelers were. While I was walking past them, there were covered wagons. A couple of youngins poked their dirty little heads out. They got quite giddy over my shiny badge and all, so I nicely tilted my cowboy hat. Howdy, I said. They just giggled and put their heads back on. Strange looking youngins them is, I thought to myself. They were so dirty I couldn't tell if they were lads or lasses. They had funny little noses and wildest, beady looking eyes. Think there was only three of them in there. The two that I saw had teeth kind of pointed out of their mouths like somebody had tried to yank them out. I walked up yonder to the porch of the saloon, and damn if these folks were not loud. I could hear them hollering over my spurs, clanking and creaking ward porch. Could hear them talking about some ghost town a week or so ride east around the mountain pass. Hey, they could be talking about Waters Peak, I thought to myself. Better go find out what all the ruckus is about. So I went through the swinging door into the saloon, and everyone stopped and looked at me. Now, other than the old man, there were three men about my height wearing an old raggedy overall sitting at the barn. The one sitting close to me was a young lad, about maybe 12 or so. You could tell by his still baby face look. He had a long, shaggy, brownish hair, or it could have been blonde. He was all dusty-like, maybe from the ride and all. Gotta tell you, though, he had some set of the brightest, bluest eyes I had ever seen. The man next to him, I am supposing to be his pa, them looking alike and all. His face was a bit older and was worn out like he had been traveling his whole damn life. Talked kind of queer. I could not make out a lick of sense of what he was saying and all. Next to him was a big man, round belly and face. Both men unshaven and raggedy. That man could have very well been his pa and was maybe about the age of the old man McClear. Curious, I wandered and asked what they found by the way of the ghost town and such. Well, about a week ago and a half, we came upon a small town that was looking like no folk had been there in quite a spell, I would reckon, because the general store had fallen down, and further south there were cattle bones everywhere. The houses had not been tended to and all. To the west side of town the church was fallen, what seemed to be a cornfield was all dead and picked apart by birds and deer and such. Not a soul was found in that there town. Looked like a man of them folk just disappeared and was talking about anything with them. Damn the spookiest thing I ever seen in all my days, hollered the old man. Thank you for telling me. Have a good stay here, sir, I said, nodding my hat and walking out. As I walked south to my jail along the long porch that ran round to my front of my place, I started to think and wonder if that old man was talking about Waters Peak. It was not like folks should just up and leave. Something had happened there, and I was just the man to find out. I had to find out, for I knew those folks were, I were just a lad. I was there once when Ellie, or Miss Smith, bore her first young and all, Duke. He would be about 19 now, and Mr. Baxter, when he lost his lovely life 14 years ago, when I was just a baby. I must have been about 10, and Mr. and Mrs. Chesterfield, I remember, when they moved there with their little girl Emma, who was 2 at the time. Same age as Duke. Her pa was a good man. He built them for their own little farmhouse all by himself. I would not be there in a few years now. I knew that a preacher took over my pa's church a few years after his passing and all, and that some young folks came to town and opened a general store there. I pray to God he's not talking about them there folks. They're like kin to me and all. Maybe when Dunkel heads that way I will ride with them till we reach Waters Peak. The west trail from our town leads straight into the mountains. Might be better for his sake if we have a sober gunner and all to help shoot if those damn wolves happen to show up. That was Awaiting Terror by Sphinx, Chapter 1. Thank you for listening to the Stories Mania podcast, and please join us again next time.